You know, if you keep up with the news and you're interested in the space exploration, one of the things that NASA keeps trying to do is sending probes to Mars and some asteroids and other things. What are they trying to find? Water. Because they say if we can find water, there probably has been or is now life on Mars or this asteroid. Because water equals life. You can go probably a month without food. Now, don't ask me to try, please. But but you can't go but a few days without water. Because water is essential to life. North Carolina Baptist Men, the James Robinson Ministries, Joyce Meyer Ministries, and maybe some others, all will show pictures of people drinking out of mud holes. And then they will show that their ministries drilling wells. One of the things I liked about the North Carolina Baptist Men Ministries, and this is overseas, they were drilling deep wells. And they, you know, got the old-timey pump handle on there because sometimes they're in regions where there's no electricity. And to show the kids out there just thrilled that they don't have to walk 6 miles to a mud hole to get water, where now they can go out there and get a pump and get clean, pure water. And they say, you know, it has such a big difference in the health. Because that old muddy water that the cows have been in and whatever else has been in has all kind of diseases and bacteria and stuff in them. And this clear water coming out of the well is so good, so healthy. Makes all the difference in the health of these people. You know, if you go to the average well-stocked American store, go back there to the water. They got regular water. They got spring water. They got artesian well water. They've got purified water. They've got alkaline water. They've got flavored water. And you just take your pick. You can have all kind of good water. And we got to have water to live. There's something about the human body that craves water. That's the way God made us. Now, let's suppose you have this nice refrigerator stocked with clean bottled water, and over beside of it you've got a mud hole. Which one are you going to drink from? You say, preacher, that's a stupid question. That's a no-brainer. I'm going to get some cool, clear, clean, refreshing water out of the refrigerator. 100% of the time, I'm never going to the mud hole. Well, we do that physically, but what about spiritually? What about spiritually? Turn with me first to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah, chapter 2. Physically, we will choose the clean water, but what about spiritually? Jeremiah chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses of chapter 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, so here's Jeremiah, he says, now God spoke this to my heart so to share with the people of Israel. It's God's message to Israel. Jeremiah didn't say, I thought this up, or it seemed like a good idea to me. He said, the word of God came to me to say this to you folks. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. He said, God says, I remember when you used to love me. I remember in those early days when you really used to follow me, when I was important to you, when I was especially loved by you. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. You know, said Israel lived a holy life before God. And God protected Israel because of that holy life. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that you are gone far from me, have walked after vanity, and have become vain? He said, God says to Israel, what did I do wrong? Where did I mess up? Where was there some fault in my godness toward you that you decided to abandon me? Why have you decided to forsake me? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt? I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, the goodness thereof, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. He says, I led you through a desolate place, and I brought you to a good place. I took you out of a bad situation, through a bad situation, and I led you to a blessed, wonderful place of living. And yet, you've polluted it. The priests said not, where's the Lord? They that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed according to me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. He said the religious establishment, the priests, the preachers, the prophets didn't know me, turned to Baal, a god that was not an Israelite god, was not Jehovah. Said they have turned to this god. And why? Wherefore I shall plead with you, and the Lord, said the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over to the isles of Chittim and see, and send into Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are not yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. He said, go anywhere you want in the world. Look at all the heathen people. Nobody ever changed their god. He said, they wouldn't think of a thing. They followed something that was not a god. That was an evil thing. But nobody, he said, changed their god. He said, you never heard of such a thing, but you've done it. Israel has done it. You swapped me, the great God, for something else. And this next verse is the one that, and he said, you know, all of heaven's just astonished at what you've done. And then this verse, and this is the one that the Lord started me on this week. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. He said, Israel messed up. Said, over here was pure, clean spring water. And you know, it's just great when you talk to somebody and say, this farm's been in our family for 150 years and there's a spring on that farm that's never run dry. You know, that's great. God says you had this wonderful spring of water, which was Him, Jehovah, Almighty God. But instead, you did something man-made. You dug yourself some cisterns. And you know, a cistern, you depend on runoff rainwater. If you don't get any rain, you don't get any water. If the cistern stays in the water stays in there too long, it gets stagnant, stale, and the creepy crawlies get in it. And there's always, and he says these are broken cisterns. In other words, they got a crack in the bottom and the water leaks out. And you know, it'd be so disappointing. You know, you're thinking, hey, I got to have some real help here. And you go flop the lid on your cistern and, wait a minute, I thought there's a lot of water in it. It's all gone. And you look down and there's a crack across the bottom. He said, you know, the people, he said, folks, you've messed up. You had a spring that was ever flowing and you wanted something man-made. And I was thinking this morning, there's a living God that created heaven and earth. But we'd rather dig our own cistern, only we call it evolution. You know, you ride by here and you see this building and you say, well, how did that building get there? It just happened. You think, what a stupid question and answer. This building just didn't happen. Somebody drew some plans. Some skilled people came in here and dug and poured concrete and laid brick and put up walls and paint and everything else. It didn't just happen. And you go out there and you look at the beauty of the sun and the stars and how everything, you know, we're just close enough to the sun to be warm. If we're a little further away, we'd freeze. If we're a little hotter, we'd burn up. We got just enough oxygen in the air to bless us and not enough to ruin us. Just enough carbon dioxide to make everything work perfectly. We've got all kind of animals and plants and everything that mesh together. You got a heart that beats 50 to 100 times a minute and has been for some of us for decades. And the heart doesn't say, well, I believe I'll take a week off. If it does, you're in big trouble. You know? Your body is designed to take in food and eliminate it and to turn it into energy and turn it into healing. And, you know, if you get a cut, everything rushes to that place to fix it. You know, it's just amazing. Oh, it just happened. And so there's a vast number of people that have dug themselves a cistern called evolution. And when they stand before God, they're going to find out their cistern's cracked. There's a vast number of people that have dug themselves a cistern called pleasure. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. And there's some folks, it doesn't matter whether it's sinful pleasure or an excess of good pleasure, but they've dug themselves a cistern of pleasure. You know, Jesus told about a rich man. And in hell, he lifted up and said, Lord, I'd like to have one drop of water for my tongue. He said, remember, in your lifetime, you had some good stuff. But you didn't have time for me. He said, well, please send somebody to my brothers. I don't want them to come here. You know, there's not a person in hell that wants a lost person that they love to come to hell and join them. They're saying, please, somebody go tell them. Please, somebody let them know. Please, somebody. But we dig our cisterns and we drink polluted water when we could have the fresh spring of the presence of the Lord. Turn with me over to the Gospel of John. Let's see. Start off in the fourth chapter, I believe it is. Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. And we'll start reading at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that hath saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Skip down to verse 13. Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now flip on over a couple of pages in your Bible to John 7. John 7. In verse 37, John 7:37, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not glorified yet. Jesus here, in both to this woman and in the day of the feast, promised a living water that would flow into us and around us and through us. And that was his presence and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you could have living water. Living water. You could have joy. What did Christine just play? Floods of joy over my soul. Since Jesus came into my heart. You know, I don't see how people live without Jesus in their heart. The presence of Jesus is so alive, so real, so precious. Fantastic presence of Jesus. And he says, living water. Filled up with Jesus. Now I like to imagine this. You have a sink. You put a empty glass in there. You turn it on. And that glass fills up. And then it runs over the top. And then the whole sink fills up. And that glass is full and surrounded. And different places in the Bible, you talk about being filled with the Spirit. And baptized in the Spirit. And immersed in the Spirit. You know, the presence of Jesus and through the Holy Spirit so real that we're full and surrounded. Now, granted, if the glass is full of something else, it's not going to be full of water. If the sink is full of something else, it's not going to be full of water. If we allow sin to fill our lives, we're not going to be full of Jesus. If we allow sin to crowd in around our lives, we're not going to be full of Jesus and surrounded and immersed and baptized in Jesus. We need the presence of Jesus, that living water. And so, spiritually, what are we drinking? Are we drinking the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit? Are we enjoying his presence? Is everything that we do in our life Jesus-centered? And even working a job and being a dad and a mom and a grandma and a grandpa and all of those things, Jesus can still be the center of our lives. We can still be filled and are surrounded by the presence of Jesus. And we need to be drinking and filling ourselves with spiritual water. The presence of Jesus and the presence of spiritual things. Now, how clean is what you're drinking? You know, you could have really good water. You could have not so good water. You can have some pretty bad water, and then you can have the mud hole. And it's our choice which we're going to drink. Let me meddle a while. Your TV programs, your movies, your books, your music, conversations with friends, places you go. How polluted are they? But preacher, you don't understand. If I don't watch the latest episode of Trash TV, I can't get around with the group at the break room in the morning and talk about that episode and who slept with whom and who did what to whom, and you know, who cares? If I don't go see the greatest last blockbuster pornographic movie that everybody's talking about, what am I going to talk about when they're talking about that at the break? You know, in the book of Peter, he talks about once you get saved, some of your old friends are going to wonder at why you don't run with them to the same trashy places you used to go to. Peter's saying, hey, you ought to be different. And you know, the sad thing is, as a pastor, is to see and listen to church folks that I know have been drinking out of mud holes by what they're reading and what they're watching. And just like that physical mud hole will affect your physical health, that spiritual mud hole will infect and impact your spiritual health. We can ruin ourselves by what we watch, by what we participate in. And it's our choice. I mean, Jesus says, here I am, living water. Fill yourself with me. Fill yourselves with me. And it will make all the difference in the world. And just like our bodies crave physical water, there's something in the way we're created that craves spiritual water. And we can try to satisfy it out of a cistern. We can try to satisfy it out of a mud hole. Or we can try to satisfy it with Jesus. That doesn't mean you don't ever read a book that's non-Christian, but you know, sometimes I'm thinking about a book I was given. It was a national bestseller and made it into a movie. I read about, you know, first 30 pages. I thought, this is a fantastic author. I can't believe how good this book is. By the time I got to page 50, I thought, I can't believe the garbage that's in this book. I thought, well, I wonder if this is just a little bad stretch. So I flipped over about 200 pages, and it was worse. And so I just trashed the whole book. I don't care. You know, I think I've shared this before. But it's disconcerting, distracting to be up here preaching. And I'm trying to remember what I'm wanting to say and what scripture I'm looking at. And all of a sudden the devil will say, Ed, you remember that pornographic, nasty story that you heard when you were 8 years old in the barber shop? There's a barber shop that the two barbers were deacons and sang in the choir of their church. It's one of those first come, first serve things, you know, and everybody kind of lined up on a church pew type thing. And Daddy take four little boys and we'd sit there and I'd think, somebody ought to said, hey, that's not appropriate for the 8, 7, 5, and 4 year old. But they told all kind of garbage. And I just have to ignore it sometimes. I mean, hey, that's only been 60 some years. But ever so often, I'm preaching away and the devil will remind me of some trash. And don't look so holy, he'll do the same thing to you and he probably has done the same thing to some of you. Well, why would I want to go put more trash in there for him to bring up and pollute myself anymore? No, I just want to put more and more of Jesus in me and more pure water in me so that there's less and less that he can use to remind me of what's wrong. You know, we as Christians, and we were talking about this on Wednesday night, we as Christians could make all the difference in the world if we just act like Christians. I'm not going to that store. I'm not watching those TV programs. You know, if the ratings drop to zilch, I'm not going to that movie. Oh, but preacher, you just got to understand, we got to be hip and with it. Well, we're drinking from the mud hole again. Folks, we have a choice. Israel made a choice. Here, Jeremiah says, God told him, tell him, so you got this living spring of water, and over here you got this cracked, broken cistern that's not dependable, and you made the wrong choice. Every one of us make a choice every day. What are we going to watch? What are we going to read? What kind of conversations are we going to have with our friends? Where are we going to go? And we can drink pure water or we can drink from the mud hole. It's our choice. But one day, when the chips are down, we're going to wish we were closer to the Lord. We're going to wish we knew him better. We're going to wish it were different. Now, I'm thankful that his mercy is new every day and we can start where we are and ask for forgiveness and go on. You know, as a pastor, sometimes I've been given gifts for Christmas or birthday and end up having to take them out and drop them in the trash can because I didn't want it in my house. It's my choice. It's your choice. Folks, water is essential to life. Spiritual water, the presence of Jesus, is essential to salvation. But we want Jesus in purity, not in pollution. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And every one of us need to make decisions. How pure is the water that we're drinking? And you can make any decision that the Lord would lay on your heart as we stand to sing.